Last Sunday, Mike left us with a big question to think about. Does the cross of Jesus form the basis of your life? Does the cross of Jesus form the basis of your life? The cross behind us, not as a myth or a distant memory, but as a real event in the past. Jesus really did die for us. And Mike picked up the cross, you might remember. If you were here last week for Easter Sunday, he picked up the cross and he took it to the back of church. I thought we'd do the same thing again. The cross behind us as a literal reminder. There we go. The cross behind us is a literal reminder that as Christians we live in response to the cross. The cross forms or should form the basis, the foundation of our lives. And then we look forward to heaven with this wonderful picture. We look forward to heaven, the heavenly city ahead of us. And I think this is great, whetting our appetites of what's to come. Real physical resurrection life in heaven with God forever will be wonderful. But what about the present? If the cross is in the past, and we've got heaven to come in the future, how are we to live here and now? What does it look like in practice for the cross to form the basis of our lives? The passage Kate just read for us is part of a letter sent to Christians in Ephesus in Turkey. It was written by the Apostle Paul about 30 years after Jesus died and rose again, and it helps us with that question. First, Paul writes about God's goodness to his people in choosing us and adopting us and lavishing his grace on us with full forgiveness, giving us his spirit and new life, and the list goes on. He says that Christians have every spiritual blessing in Christ. And then Paul explains how to respond, how we are to live in the light of the cross. And in chapter 6, we learn that it will be tough, like a war. He describes the Christian life as a spiritual battle. But in his kindness, God has given us everything we need, that the full armor of God, he puts it, so that we're fully equipped now as we journey towards heaven and our future. Paul was a Roman citizen, so he may have been thinking about a Roman soldier. And this is what he says. Finally, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, one thing we need to get crystal clear from the start is who the enemy is. Because if we get that wrong, well, we could end up in all sorts of trouble. 12 years ago, a country in Asia spent 6 months monitoring its skies, worrying that China was invading its national airspace. Border troops made over 300 sightings of supposed Chinese spy drones, violating their line of actual control over 150 times. Tensions rose as they placed troops on the border, and China did the same on their side. Eventually, the astrophysicists, so the scientists, came to the rescue by pointing out that the lights weren't spy planes at all. They were Venus and Jupiter. They thought that China was their enemy, but China had no intentions of invading at all. Anyway, on a more serious note, we need to know who the enemy is and who the enemy isn't, because many Christians in the past have got it completely wrong and caused great harm by thinking that we need to conquer peoples or conquer places like Jerusalem, which is the complete opposite, actually, of what the Bible says. Fortunately, Paul makes it clear. He says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Then the enemy is the devil, Satan. And just to be completely sure, he adds, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So our enemy is not people, flesh and blood. It's the devil and the other demons or fallen angels on his side. That may sound very strange, and it may leave us with more questions. I mean, how do we defend ourselves against an enemy that's invisible? And what exactly is this armour that God gives us? Well, that's where Paul goes next. That's what he explains. And rather than me telling you, I'm hoping that our children in Climbers might be able to tell us what makes up the full armour of God. So, Climbers, we're on the front page of your activity sheet, if you managed to grab one from the back. So not the colouring inside, but the other side. Hopefully some of you have looked at the words in red and tried to fill in the blanks. Let me put the words up on the screen. Okay. So can anyone in Climbers tell me what armour does God give us to help us? What armour does God give us to help us? Has anybody spotted that on the sheet? Otherwise, we'll ask some older people. Anybody in Climbers done the front bit? Okay. Spy and CY, if you look at those verses, can you spot the armour of God? Can you spot something that God has given us to help us? Leo? Breastplate of righteousness, thank you. Would you be happy to come up to the front and see if you can hold that up for me? Would that be all right? No? Okay. Is there a climber who could come to the front to hold that up for me? Sophie, thank you. Okay. And in the meantime, if you just hold that, thank you, and maybe stand on the stage next to me. Okay. If you just hold that up. Can you spot another one? Any climbers or spy? Oh, Neil. The belt of truth, did you say? Brilliant. Are you happy to come to the front and see if you can spot a belt? Okay. If you have a look on the table, see if you can find a belt and then hold it up like Sophie. Sophie, why don't you come a bit further forward to here? Lovely. Okay, there's one more. Can somebody spot one more? Okay. I'll give you a clue. It begins with G.
Jesus.
It's not Jesus, but good guess. Well done, Jack. Okay, what's the last one? It's the gospel of peace, isn't it? So, could somebody come to the front and... I don't have any proper sandals. We're going with modern sandals, Crocs. Could somebody hold up some Crocs for us? And Seb, why don't you come up as well and we'll get you dressed. Are you still happy to be our soldier? Okay. Well, why don't you grab your Crocs then? Okay. And just pop them down on the stage. Pop them down there. And if you put this on first, okay, let's get you dressed up as a Roman soldier. I think you'll need that first, then maybe Sophie, if you help. And then Neil, the belt of truth is going to go on last, I think. Okay. Why don't I put the pictures up? The breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, and they would have worn these sandals. Paul says that we need feet that are ready. Feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Brilliant, thank you. And then lastly, Neil, if you give Seb the belt, and we'll pop that on. Okay. Great. And Sophie and Neil, why don't you take a seat? Thank you for your help. And Seb, do you want to pop your Crocs on? Good. Now, let's think about how the armour of God can help us. How do these things help? So here's a question for you. How will truth help us stand against the devil? How will truth help us stand against the devil? And that's for anyone, including adults. How will truth help us stand against the devil? The belt of truth, how is that any use to us? That's half a hand, Leo. Are you up for answering? No? Okay. Any? Yes, Judith, thank you. Well spotted, Seb. I didn't see you. Yeah. Thank you very much. Brilliant. So the devil deals in lies. He deceives us. He tells us things that aren't true. And we can counter those lies with truth, can't we? That's exactly what Jesus did in the desert. Do you remember, for every lie or false promise, Jesus told the truth? Okay. As for the breastplate of righteousness, let me do this one. It's quite tricky. Righteousness is about being right with God, and being friends with God. Jesus died to give us righteousness as a gift. And if you've received it, it protects you. The devil can't accuse you because you've been declared innocent, right with God. That's the breastplate of righteousness. Thirdly, what's the gospel of peace? Let's open that up to everybody. What is the gospel of peace? The Bible, thank you. Yeah, anything else? What does gospel mean? Good news, thank you. The gospel is the good news that through Jesus, we can have peace with God and peace with others. No more war. We're going to take a break to sing about that now. So do have a rest, do have a seat, and I'll call you up a bit later. And while the musicians, you keep that on. Yeah, we're going to put more things on. While the musicians take their places, let me read the first verse of our next song to you. We're thinking about the gospel. There is one gospel on which I stand for all eternity. It is my story, my Father's plan. The Son has rescued me. Oh, what a gospel. Oh, what a peace. Oh, my highest joy and my deepest need, now and forever. He is my light. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's stand to sing. Okay, we've looked at three parts of the armour of God, but Paul actually gives us a second list of three. Climbers, have any of you managed to do the second list, the words in green on the worksheet? Has anybody filled in the blanks for those? Okay, well, let's put the verses up and we'll ask. Spy and see why. Adults are welcome to join in as well. What other armour does God give us to help us from these verses? So in addition, this is an extra list. What other armour does God give us to help us? Thank you, Leo. The shield of faith. Brilliant. Are you up for standing up here? No? Okay. Could somebody come and hold our shield for us? Thank you, Neil. Oh, you're going to say something else? Well, go for it. What were you going to say? And you've got it on your sheet as well, haven't you? The sword of the Spirit. Brilliant. Why don't you come and find the sword? And if somebody else could come up and hold our shield for us. I'm looking at our climbers. I can see a few. Oh, Sophie. Thank you. Well spotted. Thank you, Sophie. So if you find the shield, we've got one more. What's the other piece of armour that God gives us? Oh, somebody said it. Was that Gordon? Go on, Gordon. Yeah, thank you. The helmet of salvation. Okay. And one other youngster. Jack, do you want to come and hold something? No? Okay. Anybody else? So why don't you come up and you can hold the helmet and we'll give you these things. Okay. And if you could put the helmet on, and Neil and Sophie, if you could give Seb his other pieces of armour and then take a seat. Okay, so you're almost ready. Brilliant. Thank you, Roman soldier. Do take a seat, Neil. Thank you. Now, and I've got some pictures. There we go. We don't quite have a Roman shield, but that's what it would have looked like. Really cool. Okay. And, well, let's think again about how this armour helps us. How will faith help us stand against the devil? That's a question for everyone. How will faith help us stand against the devil? Thank you. Thank you very much, Martin. Again, it's about the fact that he lies, and he fires lies at us. I've come up with the same thing, Martin. The devil tells us lies to make us doubt and despair. They come towards us like flaming arrows, but we can trust in God, who always keeps his promises. His words are trustworthy and true. As for the helmet of salvation, we've been protected by what God has done for us through Jesus. He saves us, he saves all his people from sin, death, and the devil. In fact, if you already believe in Jesus' death in your place, then you're already saved. So that's the helmet of salvation. Last one, this is a question for everyone. What is the sword of the Spirit? What is the sword of the Spirit? I'm holding it. Indeed, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, which is the Bible. Okay, the Bible, God doesn't leave us to guess, does he? What to do, how to live. He guides us and directs us through his Word, the Bible, by his Spirit, our teacher. So God doesn't leave us to fend for ourselves in a dark world where many people reject his rule. He equips us with the full armour of God to keep going in the present as we long for heaven in the future. Now, so before you sit down, I want you to stand in a defensive position. So stand your ground. And I've got a picture to inspire you. That's kind of how they might... Oh, wow. You see, you're crouching down. Okay. Brilliant. I think that's quite a good defensive position. Perfect. Well, have a seat, soldier. Thank you very much for your help. If you want to, or you can keep it on, up to you. Okay. Great. Stand firm. That's what Paul wants the Christians in Ephesus to do. That's what God wants us to do. And that's why he's equipped us with this armour. Verse 13, I mean, he says it a number of times, stand firm, stand your ground, and so on. Verse 13 puts it clearly. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. But how do we do that in practice? Let's think about two practical examples, one for our children and youth, and one for the adults. So children, teenagers, imagine you've made a mistake, and your mum or dad come and ask you about it. Perhaps you've made a mess, and you haven't cleared it up. Or you've had more screen time than you were supposed to. Or you've hurt your brother or sister. Your mum and dad come to ask you about what's happened, but you don't want to own up to it. It feels easier, safer, to lie, or make excuses, or blame someone else rather than admit that you're in the wrong. How do you respond? Well, let's remember what we've been learning. First, know your enemy. Who's the enemy? It's the devil, isn't it? Satan. It's not your mum or dad or your brother or sister. He's the one who's tempting you to lie and to hurt others. Then I said you need to put on your armour. What has God given us that could help in that moment? Well, we've got the belt of truth, haven't we? We know the truth about God, about us and the situation we're in, and we can tell the truth. We've also got the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. So basically, because Jesus has saved us and made us right with God, we don't need to fear. We can say sorry and be forgiven. We don't need to lie or cover up what we've done. And we feel better, don't we? Once we've told the truth, then we can move on rather than hiding behind lies. Finally, a practical application or example for adults. Adults, you've plucked up the courage to tell a colleague or a non-Christian friend that you went to church on Sunday. You share a bit about your faith. You even mention Jesus. And their response is, oh, you don't believe all that God stuff, do you? How do you respond? Well, first, know your enemy. Who's your enemy? It's the devil, Satan. It's not your friend or your colleague. It's the devil. And think about your armour. What has God given you to help you in that moment? Well, you've got the shield of faith, which helps you defend against doubt. Your colleague doubts that God even exists, and the devil wants you to doubt too. And you've got the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. So you can hold on to the promises of God's Word in general, and specifically in that moment. Promises including his love and care for you. And did you know there's a promise in the Bible that the Holy Spirit will give Jesus' followers the words to say in just that sort of situation, in that moment when they're being challenged? Lastly, you've got the gospel of peace. Good news to share with your friend or colleague. about the fact that God not only exists, but has shown himself in Jesus, who came to die, to bring us peace with God and peace with others. Think about how you might respond to that question then. You don't believe in all that God stuff, do you? In that sort of moment, if you're like me, you'll talk too much and waffle. You could ask a question instead. Yes, I do believe in God. What do you make of Jesus' claims to be God? Leave that with them. I love the way Paul finishes his letter, the final verses Kate read for us. What is Paul worried about as he writes this letter? He's in prison. It was probably pretty miserable. Listen to how he finishes his letter, his concern. Ephesians, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, in prison. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. That's what Paul wanted to do. Let's pray that God would help us want to do the same. Let's pray. Father God, thank